In the 61st chapter of Isaiah, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord Yahweh has been given to me, for Yahweh has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up hearts that are broken, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to those in prison, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor." And this quote from Isaiah was used by Jesus to speak about his own ministry. He used it as his badge of identity, if you would, that he had come to bind up broken hearts, to bring freedom to those in prison, liberty to those held captive. And I think it's interesting that this quote doesn't speak about physical healing so much as it speaks about the broken heart and those whose freedom has been robbed and stolen from them. And what Jesus was truly interested in was, first of all, human wholeness, restoring people to the fullness of life that God his Father had originally wanted for them. And so, as we pray for healing, almost too quickly do we realize that only one small part of the healing that is needed in our world today is physical healing, healing of physical ailments and illnesses. And so we move beyond physical healing to what we call inner healing, healing of the inner self, healing of the broken heart, healing of the crushed and the bruised spirit. And the goal of that healing is the same goal that Jesus had, the goal of human wholeness, so that all may share in the fullness of life. And I think as we look around the world today, we realize that so many people suffer not so much from physical pain, but from broken hearts, from painful memories, from grieving and sorrowful spirits. So many people are prisoners of their own past, prisoners to their fears and their anxieties. So many are crushed under burdens of guilt and feelings of unworthiness, uselessness, worthlessness. So many people, it's sad to say, are seething with resentment and spite and even hatred. And if we're speaking about the healing ministry and the healing love of Jesus, we have to proclaim the truth that Jesus is not indifferent to any of the hurts of the human heart or the human person. And Jesus is not indifferent to anything that degrades, deforms, or dehumanizes the human person. That he does want to touch. That he wants to reach into our past and touch what is back there in our memories that are still hurting and debilitating. He wants to reach deep into our spirits with healing love, forgiveness, and that gentle power, and set us free from all that would bind and hold us captive. And I think as we get into the ministry of inner healing, that there basically are kind of two approaches, or two reasons, I guess, for the ministry of inner healing. Now, my own experience and the way that we came to inner healing at the beginning was when we pray for physical illnesses. So soon we realize that the physical sufferings that afflict us are so often caused by something much deeper. And doctors tell us, and I've heard figures, that upwards to 75 to 80% of all illness is psychosomatic. Now, a psychosomatic illness is a very real illness. It's something that does show up in the x-ray. It's something that is there, something that does cause pain, but one that is caused by something within, something deeper. For example, and I think one that everyone can understand, it's very common to our experience, is that an ulcer is somehow related to anxiety, nervous tension, and fears. That the anxiety level somehow either causes the ulcer or aggravates it, and that when we pray for the ulcer, we have to go beyond that, deeper than that, and pray also for the anxiety. I've had many experiences where we prayed very simply for an ulcer. The person has been healed, but then a month later, as either another ulcer or the same ulcer has reoccurred. The reason for that is very simple to understand. Because even though the ulcer was healed, the anxiety was still there. The nervous tension was still there. The seething inside was still present, and so naturally caused another ulcer. And so I came early to realize that in so many cases we need to take the time and minister to the person, to minister to the real need, and so often the need inside the person, in his inner self, in his soul, in his spirit, in his heart. And we know that that prayer is just as effective as the prayer for physical healing. And so we see that some illnesses are actually caused by something inner, conflict or spite, hatred, anger, repressed. And we see also that many times a healing does not take place because there is a deeper need that must first be met. And one of the saddest things that you see in the healing ministry that reoccurs so often is that people come forth for prayer and yet cannot be healed because of such deeper needs. Example, a lonely person who in almost a perverse way needs to be sick to gain sympathy, attention, and at least the outward semblance of love. And the prayer for that person's healing can generally not be effective until the loneliness of the heart is touched first and overcome. So we see, first of all, that physical illness is somehow, in so many ways, intertwined with the psychic healing that's needed or the spiritual illness. Whether that spiritual illness is causing the physical pain or whether it's blocking the healing. But we understand that we need to take the time and minister to the deeper need. And secondly, there is a need to pray for inner healing very simply because people are hurting inside. So many people are actually practically bleeding inside. They're being kept from human wholeness. They're not free to be the beautiful person that God created them to be. They're not free to live life to its full because of burdens, because of hurts, because of brokenness. And we see so much brokenness. Broken hearts, broken lives, broken relationships, broken dreams. And all the inner brokenness that causes suffering, hurt, loneliness, pain, sorrow, grief. And the truth is that God is simply not indifferent to what hurts and grieves the human heart. The healing love of God can be ministered deeply to the spirit of a person. And Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and always, can move into a person's past and touch hurting memories, painful moments, traumatic incidences, and set the person free. all that we have been in our life, we still are. All that has happened to us is still there. It could not simply be repressed and forgotten. It's there. And it still has an effect on the way I think, the way I react, the way I respond. The hurts of the past, if they are not healed, are simply buried alive and still have an effect on my life. Something is healed when, first of all, it no longer has a negative effect on me, and secondly, that I can actually give thanks to God for the experience which happened so long ago, the experience which one time hurt, which is now healed and for which I can give thanks, because I realize that that memory, that experience, that moment has been healed, and I can actually draw something positive from it, for all things work out to the good for those who love God. And because perhaps I was hurt, I can now have compassion on those who hurt. Because I grieved or felt depression and sorrow, I can understand a person who grieves. And so I give thanks for every experience in my life. To be healed means that this experience, this moment, no longer has negative effect upon me. And so in inner healing, we're talking about healing the traumatic memories, the painful moments of life, touching the empty times of abandonment, loneliness, anxiety, and fear. In inner healing, we're talking about going back and filling the moments when there was a lack of love, when there needed to be love, and to fill in the gaps between the love that was needed and the love that was given. Inner healing is to heal my past, to heal my inner self, and to draw me forth to wholeness. Now, as we pray for any healing, the most important tool of all is the use of the imagination, the vivid imagination, the creative imagination. As far back as Aristotle in philosophy, we read that the imagination is the door to the inner man. See, as they understood it, and as St. Thomas Aquinas even teaches it, the imagination is the one facility of the mind that has a double aspect. It somehow partakes of the inner spirit. It draws from deep within the soul, the spirit, the inner self. And yet at the same time is physical. It somehow is located in the mind, in the brain, so that I can picture things. So that I can picture things, imagine them in a vivid way. And yet those pictures have deep roots within my inner self. And so Aristotle tells us that the door to the inner man lies within the imagination. And those who prayed for any healing have learned so well the truth of that statement, and that creative healing of great depth can take place in the imagination and in the picturing of incidences, the picturing of Jesus. And that in my imagination, I can go back into my past, and I am free to move about and to relive a memory. And I can go back into a time of my past that was hurting or lacking in love or a moment of darkness or pain. And that I can change that memory in a sense that I can bring Jesus in my imagination back into my memory. And that I can bring light, the light of Christ, into a moment of darkness. I can bring incarnate love, Jesus, into a moment that needed love, and love wasn't there, so that love can fill a loveless moment. I can bring forgiveness to a deep hurt that still lies buried within me and breeds resentment and anger. I can bring the security of the presence of Jesus into a time of anxiety and fear, and can be thus released from the effects of that fear and anxiety. And the use of creative imagination is not the same thing as fantasy. We are not pretending that Jesus was there. The fact is that Jesus is with us. He is present. He is there. And whatever moment we live through, with whatever pain it caused, and whatever sorrow, whatever hurt, whatever sense of abandonment or loneliness, the truth is that Jesus was there, present. And he was ministering his love, and his light and his forgiveness and his secure presence was there. But because of the hurt, because of the pain, because we were so tied up in what was happening in a negative way, we weren't open to the healing love of God. We weren't responsive to his presence. Or perhaps because we didn't have faith at that time, we were simply closed and not responsive. And so we go back through the imagination, through the vivid picturing of what was. And we picture the same incident, the same moment, the same memory, but this time in all its fullness, with Jesus right there, living it with us. And where there was a lack of love and understanding, the love and the understanding of Jesus can fill that gap and that emptiness. Where there was a sense of abandonment, the presence of Jesus can bring security. And where there was fear and anxiety and loneliness, Jesus can bring the security of his own presence and free us from all the effects that that caused. What we are saying is that Jesus was always with us from the moment of our conception through every experience of our lives, and that we can go back into a negative moment and bring the positive presence of Jesus with such power and perhaps such force, if you want to use the word, that what was negative and deeply rooted in our psyche and our spirit can be overwhelmed, overpowered by the loving, healing presence of Jesus. And so we are set free from bondage to loneliness, fear, anxiety, hurt, pain, resentment, hatred. The loving presence of Jesus. And what was as negative is transformed now into what is truly positive. And we are made whole. And we are set free. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, we read, "Your integrity will go before you, and the glory of God behind you. Cry, and the Lord will answer. Call out, and he will say, I am here. Your light will rise in the darkness. Your shadows will become like noon. The Lord will guide you, and he will give you relief in desert places. He will give strength to your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, never runs dry. He will rebuild what was ruined. He will build up on the old foundation. And you will be called the mender of the breach, because what was once ruined is now restored." Jesus saw a man who was incapacitated by illness, and he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the perfect answer, "Lord, I want to be whole." And of course, Jesus responds, "Be made whole."